Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
It's a faith test. Moses was prepared for a faith test. And do you know the reason why he was prepared? Because of his parents. If your children go to heaven, there's a good chance it will be because of you. A lot of people are going to heaven that did not have godly parents. But in your case, if your children go to heaven, it will be because you have trained them in faith. When we feel like God has failed us, He never fails. Jesus never fails. What fails is the quality of our faith. What Paul called feigned faith, or he really said, I pray that you would have unfeigned faith. Feigned faith, fake faith, pretentious faith, faith that perhaps you deceive others with, but most of all you deceive yourself with. But you never deceive God with fake faith. Faith that produces miracles is seldom, if ever, established at the time of impact or crisis. But it's almost always well in place before the impact or before the crisis comes. It is too late to put on our safety belt or our seat belt when we have an accident. We should have been buckled up before we left the driveway. Faith is not an impulse. It's not a rush of spiritual adrenaline. Faith is actually a resolute knowledge, understanding, and decision. You got to put on the seatbelt. Be prepared for what happens. Just in a trivia note, I read somewhere this past week that in Princess Diana's car, the only survivor was the only person that had on a seatbelt. The rest of them perished, including the princess. It pays to have faith, big faith. And so every day of my life, I'm checking my faith. I didn't have one crisis today, but I did build up my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It pays to have faith. God never fails, but Jesus said, I pray for you, Peter, in Luke 22:32. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus said it's possible to have a faith failure. So we have been here at Living Way a while. There are most of you that are here tonight. You're the cream of the crop. You came even though the weather forecast was bad and it rained close to church time, and you're still here. You're the cream of the crop. You've been here for a while. And so I want us to take Moses' faith test tonight and see how we do. You don't have to turn in your homework. Nobody will be asked to go to Cornerstone if you don't pass this test. This is just between you and the Lord. But you've been Living Away a while. Let's take a test tonight, see if we can pass it. Moses was an amazing man of God. Probably the most influential man in all of the Old Testament. Abraham, Moses, perhaps a dead heat, but close. An amazing man. He's the man that led Israel out of slavery and out of bondage. And he approached them as a rank stranger. They didn't even know who he was when he first came on the scene. He had to introduce himself, and he had to ask God for credentials, and God gave him the credentials of throwing the stick down, it turning into a snake, and picking the snake up by the tail, it turned back into the rod. That was his credentials. He had to be able to announce, I am. Abraham's I am has sent me. And he had to be a salesman. He had to convince them. And he was not a natural born communicator. With a speech impediment, he was able to convince them that he was from God. He was a man of unique faith. And Hebrews puts him not only in the chapter for the hall of faith, but it gives him several verses. Number one, this is what faith did for him. Faith pays big dividends. This is what faith will do for you. Faith was able to change this man to where he was a giant among men. Number one, by faith, he refused man's coronation. You know what coronation is? That's when you are crowned as a prince or a king or a leader. And so man wanted to crown him. They wanted to make him Pharaoh's grandson. But the Bible said by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you pass the number one test? The very first thing that he was tested. What was that? To be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was not a nickname or a moniker. That wasn't just to get him into tea parties. If he would have said, I am Pharaoh's daughter's son, it would make him heir to the throne of Egypt. It would make him the grandson of the richest man in the world. I've seen Christians sell out for nearly nothing. I've seen him sell out for a drug syringe. I've seen him sell out for a bottle of whiskey. I've seen him sell out for a one-night stand. I've seen him sell out for pride. Here was a man that was actually offered the riches of all the world, and he had enough faith to say no. You know, was it Nancy Reagan or Betty Ford? Somebody, one of the first ladies, said their whole campaign against drugs was just say no. Nancy, I wished it was that easy. You can't say no when you've got yes inside. You've got to have something inside of you. It's called faith. Faith in Almighty God. That what is in me is greater than all the temptations of the world. And not only all the temptations, but all the rewards the world can offer me. And so when he was offered this wealth and this prestige, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and revealed his identity. My question today is, what would it take for you to be called the heir of the richest man in the world? I see people that sell out very easily. Pastor, I've been offered a job in Kalamazoo. Now, there's no church there, but we're going to watch you online. Suddenly, a job making $112,000 a year is more important than their family's spiritual health, more important than their worship to Almighty God. They sold out very cheaply. Friend, you've got to have faith that says, I don't just pick up and move because somebody offers me a big lifestyle or a check, but I believe that I can stay planted where God plants me, and God will open a door across the street. The only open door does not have to be across the world or across the nation. It can be right across the street. But you have to have faith to believe that, or you will be tempted by every delusion, every deception, every enticement that comes your way. So the first test is, can you say no to the coronation of the world? It's not easy to do sometimes, but if you will do it, I promise you, God will bless you. He will bless you above and beyond anything the world will offer you. Number two, the faith to choose temporary affliction over eternal blessing, or eternal blessing, temporary affliction over temporal blessing. In other words, sometimes you have to be able to hurt a little bit. I know that we like to say, well, there'll never be a pain if you're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, there'll never be a pain. That's simply not true. You're going to have some pain in your life. But the Bible said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Moses was wise enough. All I can say is Jochebed, his mother, must have been the world's greatest teacher, because she was able to implant in him. She was able to put in his little boyish mind so strong the truths of God's principles that when he grew up to a young man, they were still there. And the pleasures were enticing, but he was able to say, I'll tell you what, I know that my people, my Hebrew people, are now in bondage. They're now in slavery. I know they're being treated badly, but I would rather be them than I would to be one of the Egyptians that has the best world now, because I understand that there is a God, and that God is going to put me in His hand, and I will not sell out for the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, we're living in a world now where church people, Christian people, they want it both ways. They want the pleasures of sin for a season, and they also want the inheritance of God. That's contrary to everything the Bible teaches. You can't straddle. You can't choose both. You've got to love one and hate the other. You've got to choose God and reject the world. And you say, well, I don't have the strength to do that. Nobody does in their flesh. You've got to get to a place where your faith is stronger than your flesh, where you believe that God's word is greater than any pleasure that you can see being offered to you right now. That's difficult to do. And if you have been observant of the kingdom of God, not many people are making that decision. So for the people that will do that, God will have a tremendous, tremendous reward. Number three, faith to esteem the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of this world. The Bible said He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Friend, it's something when you fall so in love with Jesus Christ that you'd rather be ridiculed for a Christian than you would be in praise for being somebody secular or somebody of the world. That's where Moses was. He forsook all of this. He gave all of this up. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. He did not complain about the negative aspects of being a Christian or following God Jehovah, but he actually esteemed it. He sought that. Not many people today want to do that. He said, I call it an honor to be a Christian. Somebody criticizes you at work for being a Christian, you shouldn't get your feelings hurt. You shouldn't contact HR and say, well, I'll tell you what, I believe I've got a complaint here. You ought to count it and esteem it. I have been persecuted for Christ's sake. Friend, every word that is spoken against you, every promotion that is denied you, every time you are slighted for the cause of Jesus Christ, I have got a God that is a master bookkeeper, praise God. He's more than a CPA. His registries cannot be nullified or erased, and He writes them all down. And Moses had that kind of faith. You see, your faith is not demonstrated when you shout across the front of this church. That might be just the fact you have rhythm. You used to do that in the nightclub. Same thing. Step hadn't changed hardly at all. Same thing. You got rhythm, girl. But that don't mean you got faith. It means you love music and you love the beat. But it doesn't mean you've got faith. Having faith is a whole lot different. It's esteeming the reproach of Christ and saying, I will say anywhere, anytime, I am a Christian. You know, we're just a flood with closet Christians today. People that live like the devil himself, that would embarrass Satan. All of a sudden, oh, I'm a born-again Christian. Oh, yeah, I strip a little down to club, but I'm a born-again Christian. Oh, yeah, I have a drinking problem and a drug problem, and I'm on my seventh wife and my 14th girlfriend, but I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not buying into that, folks. I believe the Word of God is true. You have to come out and be separate. What fellowship hath light with darkness? It would have been so easy for Moses to live a double life, to enjoy all the pleasures of the palace and sneak over to the slavery ghetto once in a while and take them a little care package. But he did not do that. He said, absolutely, I am not Pharaoh's daughter's son. I am a Hebrew. He wanted everybody to know. Are you aggravated when the camera gets on you and you go to church and somebody said, hey, I saw you on TV down at that church? Is it a little embarrassing for you? You're supposed to esteem the reproach of Christ. It's supposed to be a joy. You're supposed to let everybody know. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I believe He's the only way. I'm in love with Him. He's loved me when I was unlovable. He purchased my soul. He brought me out of the miry clay. What is the miry clay? It's the sin and the filth of this world. Friend, are you not appalled by what you see on your news? Is social media not shocking to your spiritual countenance and conscience? Friend, it ought to be, but you ought to be able to back up and say, thank God the Lord brought me out of that miry clay, and I esteem the reproach of Christ greater than any riches this world would have to offer. You know, I hear people talking all the time about how they've given up for the Lord, how much they've given up and to be a Christian. Well, friend, I'm going to tell you, I didn't give up anything. You can't believe what a failure I would be if it was not for Jesus Christ in my life. I've told you about my career as a baseball pitcher in the Little League, where I never lost a game pitching. And so when I'm 12 years old or so, I think I'm a superstar. And then I went to a little church where they were fanatic, and the pastor made me quit playing baseball because we had to miss Wednesday night service, and he gave us an ultimatum, and so my daddy made me quit. And so from the time I was 11 or 12 to the time I was 25, I thought I was some kind of a stud baseball pitcher. In my mind, I never lost a game, folks. I don't know how many dozens of them I pitched. I never lost a one. And so in my mind, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And all the time I thought, I would have no doubt been a major league baseball pitcher if I hadn't got saved and went into the ministry. And when we first started this church, we took a group of new converts over to what was called Astro World then. They had one of these pitching machines where you could pitch the baseball and it would measure. It had a little radar gun there and it would show you how fast you were pitching. And I'd seen these pitchers, some of them pitched 98 mile an hour and 99 and you know, those big fastball pitchers. And I thought, man, you know, not having pitched since I was 11 or 12, I'm probably down to maybe 80 or 85 or something like that, I suppose. And so I gathered all my little new converts around me, and I told them my little story about how I never lost a game, and I wound up and gave my best pitch. If I recall, it was 43 mile an hour. That was my fastball. What if I had a changeup? And so right then God spoke, said, see what a loser you would have been without me. You wouldn't even got it. They would have cut you in high school. But in my mind, I was entertaining that I had given up something. Hey, friend, if you feel like you gave something up to get saved, you need to get that out of your mind. Because God saved you. You wouldn't have been nothing. Look at you now. Woo, you're something. Look at somebody and say, I'm something now because of Jesus. Look what the Lord has done for me. Don't you know there's a lot of people saying, Moses, are you out of your mind? You could be the king of Egypt. You could be Pharaoh's grandson. But he said, I'd rather be right here in slavery. I'd rather be here with my people. Why? Because one of these days, we're going to get up. You know, he can see into the future. To have faith, you got to be able to see into the future. The substance of things hoped for, that's in the future. The evidence of things not seen. He could see them going through that Red Sea before they ever went through. He said, I'm glad I'm not in that last group that goes through, because that's the Egyptians that the wall of water comes and drowns. He can see it up ahead. Friend, I am not impressed with people that are billionaires and millionaires and say, I wished I could be like them. Friend, I understand that what I have received is greater than what they are going to receive, for it has not yet appeared to me what God has going to do for me, not in my thoughts, not in my imaginations, not in my dreams. God has prepared for me things that I cannot even imagine or describe. Do you have that kind of faith to esteem the riches of Christ greater than the treasure of this world? Do you have that kind of faith to esteem the reproach of Christ greater and say, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I look at people all the time. You know what I find amazing is when they have these funerals and people you didn't even know they knew about Christianity, suddenly they're Christians. Christianity is not something to die with. It's something to live with. You know, and I'm all for deathbed repentance. I hope it works. People just live like the devil all their life, and the last 15 seconds somebody takes their hand, leads them into a sinner's prayer, and say, praise God, he made it. I hope they're right. Not a lot of basis of that for the Bible, but I hope they're right. And I've got friends, they said the Pope said that there was no hell. That's not exactly what he said, but all the people that are afraid they're going to hell hope that's what he said. And so it doesn't really matter whether the Pope said it or not, because the Pope cannot extinguish or nor ignite the flames. They're either there or they're not. And so I hope the Pope was right. My friend that used to teach Bible school in an apostolic Pentecostal Bible school way up in the frozen country, he always taught there was an annihilation of the wicked. I've looked for those scriptures. I just can't find them. But I hope they're right. But praise God, just in case, I'm not going to have a salvation for the last minute of my life. I'm going to have one for every dreary Monday morning, every exciting Friday evening. It's something that I live by. I esteem the reproach of Christ. I've had people tell me in several times, you know, you've wasted your life. This is people that are not saying, you're wasted. You could have done so much. No, I couldn't have. Jesus Christ rescued me. He rescued me from sin. He rescued me from hell. He rescued me from fear. He rescued me from bondage. He rescued me from alcohol. He rescued me from drugs. He rescued me. I know my personality. Folks, I just can't eat one Twinkie. I have to have several. I couldn't just smoke one marijuana cigarette. I'd have to be on heroin. I'd have to have something hard. I know my personality, but I stand here before you today. Never smoked a cigarette. Never been on drugs. Never taken a drink. You said, "Well, aren't you something?" Yes, only because of Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Him, I would have overdosed a long time ago. I'd been dead and gone. And how sad would Becky be if that was the case? She's no Darlene Bishop. She knows she cannot find a replacement for me. She's not even going to look, are you? You're not even going to look, are you? Are you sure? You're not saying that very emphatically. I want to hear a little something. That's not enough. Somebody give her a pen and a piece of paper. I want to get this in writing. I have no illusions of how great God has been to me and what I would have been without Him. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the world has not been able to deceive me. But I believe the greatest riches in the world is when you get a revelation of who Jesus is and what He did for you and the price He paid and the door He opened and the life that you can live abundantly right now. And praise God, Brother Green, when they say the last word over your cold body, you're going to be smiling down and looking and saying, thanks be unto God. I esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of this world. Can you give the Lord a big praise? Hallelujah. Number four, he had faith to respect the reward. He had respect unto the recompense. The Bible said it that way. Faith to respect the reward, the compensation of the reward. Friend, I am convinced that God has got a tremendous reward for every Christian. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be Creflo Dollar. You don't have to pastor a big church. Your reward is amazing. And Moses understood that. He had respect. He could look at the riches of Pharaoh and say, that is pitiful compared to what God has prepared for me. That takes tremendous faith. That takes tremendous faith. Faith's not going to happen just because you get a bad letter in the mail that says you owe $25,000. Faith is not going to happen just because the doctor gives a bad report to you. Faith is not going to just happen because of a car accident. Faith is something you get and you live and you wallow in it. It becomes a part of you. You just take the little bittiest things to the Lord and you wouldn't even think of mattering to anybody else. It's a big deal. You just tell the Lord, Lord, I got this little problem. And the Lord just works it out. And you start living in that kind of faith. And one day there is a big thing that would blindside most people, take them out, and you take that same faith you just used for your daily bread, and praise God, you're able to get that report from the doctor. You're able to get get that bad financial reversal, you're able to take that pink slip and say, but my faith is in the Lord. Moses was being prepared to be a mighty, mighty leader, but it happened before he ever left Egypt's palace. It happened before he ever left Egypt. It happened before he ever marched with the Hebrew people, the Israel people, to go through that Red Sea. He already had that faith intact. You say, well, I know it'll be there when I need it. Not if you're not practicing it every day. I practice my faith every day. And the older you get, the more you got to practice it, brother. You know that stuff they sell on TV, said, put it on you and you won't stink? You gotta have something better than that when you get old, folks. Every day of your life, you'll start having pains where you didn't even know you had places. Say, now what's that? What's that? I just getting ready to come out to this service. I just reached over to pick up something off the floor. And I felt like somebody stabbed me right there in my knee. I mean, just wham. To a normal person, that would have been a problem. That was just, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. And I was in my dressing room, and I had just a little, some kind of ointment. It wasn't even oil. But I just put that on and said, in the name of Jesus, my knee feels fine now. You said, that's just in your mind. But wouldn't you like to have a mind that could just dismiss every problem? Wouldn't you like to have a mind that could just dismiss every pain, every financial problem? There's a place where you can get in faith to where you can kill any giant. It doesn't matter what kind of a little thing comes against you or how big a Goliath problem comes against you. You say, praise God, I am a person of faith. I know who I am. I'm a Hebrew. I'm an Israeli. Praise God. And I have respect to the reward that's coming. But it ain't bad right now. He's with me every day. 1,000 little things. You say, how much do you pray a day? A lot. Not kneeling down. I pray driving my car. I pray walking along. I spend a lot of time. You know, somebody told me, said, I can't stand to be by myself. And I don't want to judge people. But when they told me that, I thought, there's a person that don't like to pray. Because I'm by myself probably more than I am with somebody. And I don't mind it at all. The first place, I'm very good company. The second place, Jesus is there, and I can pray. I can just talk to him. I don't have to go into King's English. I don't have to fold my hands. I don't have to drop to my knees. I can just speak, praise God. And I see the Lord just turn situations around. I can get a phone call in my car, just hanging up, just talk to Jesus. And maybe 5 minutes later, that phone will ring, and that situation has been turned around. Why? Because God makes the difference. He hears me when I pray. You know, I don't know how that you can have great faith for the future if you don't have any faith for the present. If God doesn't do anything for you today, what makes you think that he's going to do something for you when you die? He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. He said that. He's my God. Every day he is my God. And I got great faith, the respect of the reward. Great respect for the recompense of reward. What God has done for me ain't shabby. But praise God, it does not compare what he's going to do. When I'm no longer on this planet, I'm no longer in this body, but praise God, I have a body. It doth not yet appear what I shall be, but I shall be like him. When I am like him, what is he going to be able to do for me? I have great faith in the recompense of reward, but I practice every day. You need to practice every day. I heard about a church in Waco here a while back that a friend of mine, pastors actually, and I called him. I said, surely you will. He said, yeah, we did. I said, I don't know about that. They were jumping. And they said, what are they doing? They said, they're having rapture practice. I don't think you need to practice for that. There's some other things you could work on, but rapture practice is probably not one of them. But there's some things you can work on. Exercise your faith in all the cares of life. Just put them in the Lord's hands and say, I know God is able. Faith is not going to be a rush. It's going to be something that you literally begin to wear like a second skin. It's just a part of you. You're a person of faith. That comes by reading the Word of God, accepting the Word of God, believing the Word of God. But it also comes by, the Bible said, by reason of use, you exercise it just over and over and over. I got several of these, but let me just close with this one. Faith to forsake the things of the world. By faith, he forsook Egypt. There's not many people today forsaking much of the world. I've got a young lady, she goes to a church in Austin. And she's a big fan of mine. She's a friend of mine on Facebook. She comes to hear me preach when I go to Austin. I preach in two or three different churches. And she'll come. She's just beautiful, Hispanic girl. She's probably 30 years old. Just, you know, just like a little beauty queen. And she's just on there. She's so nice when I see her. And she's so complimentary. And if I tweet something, a lot of times she'll retweet it. Then the next one, she's sitting at a bar drinking a little shot of whiskey or something. She doesn't understand. What is the problem? The problem is not the whiskey. The problem is she don't have any faith. Because when you've got faith, you forsake the world. It's real easy. We like to act like we got faith, but if we don't forsake some things, it's probably a pretty good sign to us that we don't have real faith. Because real faith will make you forsake this world. My hope is not in this world. My joy is not in this world. My strength is not in this world. My hope is in Jesus Christ. You ever see somebody that comes to this country and they don't really apply themselves? They don't learn the language. They don't change their dress style. They just keep on acting like they're from somewhere else and they don't fit in. And what do people do when they do that? I saw a little deal on social media where there was a woman talking in a language, and this white woman said to her, she said, if you're going to be in America, learn English. This is America. And the woman's daughter was there, and she said, my mother is a Native American. She's an Indian. If you're going to be an American, learn the Indian language. But they don't assimilate. I am bound and determined to not assimilate very well in this world because I am a foreigner. I don't use the words they use. I don't think like they think. I hear them talk and it's like they're from a different planet. Because I have forsaken the things of this world. I don't find my joy in this world. My joy is in God's kingdom. My joy is in the fact, how can you not have faith and be getting older every day? You know, I understand young people just running around and you're deluded. I remember I told somebody today, I remember when I graduated from high school, I didn't think I was ever going to get old. I've told you, I waved getting a Social Security card, and I didn't pay Social Security all these years. You know why? I didn't think I was ever going to be 65. Guess what? It don't matter whether you think you're going to be 65 or not, it's going to get you. And so I understand young people look in the mirror and say, I'm going to be young forever. That is a deception. It's a delusion, but it's going to happen, and it's really easy to look in that mirror. But let me ask some of you folks, that you're not 15 anymore. You're just still hopeful in this world. I've got a friend that's a gospel singer, and he's 70 years of age. And he's got a great voice, and he's very talented, but for whatever reason, he just never did hit. But he's 70 years old, and he thinks he's going to be discovered. Let me explain to you. If you're a singer and you haven't been discovered at 70, I hope you didn't waive your Social Security. That's all I can say. How can you be getting a little older and your hope still be in this world? Still be in this world. I said to a woman 80-some years of age that was a multimillionaire, do you have a will? She said, no, I don't have a will. She's 85 or something. She said, I don't have a will. I said, you ought to get one at your age. I said, she had no relative. I said, the state of Texas is going to get everything you got. And she said, well, I'm not interested in that. I'm looking for a boyfriend right now. She was 85. She shouldn't have been looking for a boyfriend. She should have been looking for a codger friend. You know, an old man friend, not a boyfriend. But she died without a boyfriend and without a will. She died. Friend, how is it that you can live without faith? I'm just not able to live without faith. Every day I just see my Lord. I know He's present. There's too many good things. There's no, the law of probability is just off the charts if there's not a God. There's no way that many good things could line up in my life, in my short lifespan. There has to be somebody hiding in the bushes. There has to be somebody behind the sunrise. There has to be somebody behind that storm that turns it all around. And so I've forsaken this world, and I'll tell you what I've done. I've put my hope in Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, if my hope was in Christ in this world only, I would be of all men most miserable. I'm not just living for Jesus because I've got a good life now. I've forsaken this world. My hope is in Christ. And praise God, when I draw my last breath, I take my breath in His arms. I see Him face to face. That He leads me out of this world to a place where there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no problem. There is a better world than this. And so I am absolutely, positively a Jesus freak, a Jesus fanatic. Don't care who knows it, praise God. I believe that Jesus is my life giver. I believe that He's my Savior. I believe He's my baptizer. I believe He's my liberator. I believe He's the one that made me a new creation. I believe He's the one that wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God. I believe that every step I take, He's there. I believe that He hears every word I say. I believe His hand is upon me every moment of my life. Praise God. I want to tell you, I have got faith. I've got faith in Jesus Christ. I've got faith in the Word of God, that everything the Bible said about Him is He is true. He is truth, praise God. That there is no weapon that's greater than He. There is no problem that He can't resolve. There is no enemy that He has not defeated, praise God. I have got faith. I believe that Jesus Christ can walk into this building right now. And I don't care what your sickness is. Jesus is here. He is your healer right now. Many days, not every day, but many days, I pray for my health. And I pray just like I'm praying for somebody else. I'll just anoint myself and praise God, look at me. I'm looking good, ain't it, for 68? Don't you wish you looked good this 68? Oh, you young people, you're beautiful now, but let me tell you, it's not easy to stay like this. You guys got to work on this now. And you can take all the medicine you want to and all the cosmetics. You got to get you some faith, praise God, to stay as pretty as you are. Hallelujah. The Lord is Lord all by Himself. And my faith is in Him. And I believe He's in this building right now. And those praise reports that come across my desk are shocking if I didn't have faith. Say, that can't be true. Man, I got one right now. I keep meaning to bring it out. And Pastor Brandon knows about it. But she had a hole in her heart. And God just closed that hole up. Just closed it up. Just a miracle. You say, do you believe? Yes, I do. I believe God can fix a hole in your heart. I believe God can take cancer out of your body. I believe God can adjust your blood pressure. I believe that God is able to do every impossible. My faith is off the chart. And you know what I'm thrilled about, Tammy? You know, I've got some old friends. They ain't doing too good. But you know what I really detest most about them? It just don't seem like they have as much faith as they used to. And you know what? I'm real thankful for me. I got more faith right now than I had when I was 18 or 28 or 38 or 48 or 58. Faith is not something you got to give up. Faith is something that can increase every day of your life until you are like Caleb. Say, give me this mountain. Somebody in this building right now needs to claim a mountain that God's going to do for you this week. Would you stand on your feet and give God some big praise? Hallelujah. We didn't get finished with the test tonight, so I'm not going to take up your homework. And I'm not going to take up your test sheets, and we might continue this next week. But you've got a chance to study a little bit, because this is something that you want to pass. Jesus said, Peter, I pray that your faith fail not. Above all, take the shield of faith. And I've seen so many people just lose faith. Friend, I just refuse to do that. I mean, bad news, hard knocks, mean people, nothing else is going to take my faith away, praise God. It is the most important thing I have in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Let's just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you, Lord, you've given me the gift of faith. Thank you, God, I've got big faith. I can believe you for all things. Thank you, God, I've got friends that have got faith. Thank you, God, I've got brothers and sisters here that got faith. Thank you that there's faith in this church. Thank you that there's faith on this pew. Thank you that there's faith in this section. Thank you, Lord. We've got faith right now in this building. We've got faith to get jobs. We've got faith to...